Amen. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. Prepare to meet thy God. Amos chapter 4. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to still meet together freely. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts from thy precious word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amos chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear this, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is set at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal multiply transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after how long? 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword, and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Prepare to meet thy God. When I was in Bible school, they had a class called homiletics, and it was simply about how to try to prepare messages and how to preach. And so one of my first messages in that class was on this passage here, Amos chapter 4. And I remember before we had gone to Bible school up here, Brother Jim was working for a farmer, and he showed me some corn on their ground. I think it was up on McLean that was, I think it was over 10 feet tall that year. That was on McLean, just not very many miles from the church here. Corn over 10 feet tall. And yet, on the corner of Harvard and M57, which is not very many miles from here, it was between knee and hip height, corn. Just a few miles apart. What was the difference? Exactly what the Lord did here. Verse 7, he rained upon one place and did not upon another place. The place where it did not rain upon was a farmer that. He had no time for God. Brother Jim was working for a farmer at that time that did have time for God. And boy, did God bless that corn. But the man who had no time for God, it was a pitiful sight. pitiful. But through all these things that God was doing here over and over, as we read verse 8 at the end, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 9, the blasting and the mildew. This year was the blight in tomatoes, potatoes, and I don't know, some other things as well. But how many Americans have turned to God? The same thing could be written today. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And so as we consider this morning, prepare to meet thy God. Many times, even religious people are not prepared to meet God. They're not. We're going to see many religious people this morning that were not even saved. But other than that, many times religious people that are truly born again are not prepared to meet the Lord. We sang about it this morning. Are we really prepared? I mean, if the Lord were to come back today, are we prepared to meet him? Or would we be ashamed or sorrowful about something? The word prepare means to make ready beforehand. To make ready beforehand. We were out witnessing yesterday. Brother Jim asked a man, do you know when you're going to die? And he didn't. None of us do. So we must make ready beforehand. It also means to put in a proper state of mind. If you're ready, are we ready for the Lord's coming? Would we meet him with confidence, or would we meet him with shame? Brother Jeremy prayed Wednesday night about coming before God's throne with boldness in Hebrews chapter 4. But this morning, could we do that? Could we come before him boldly, or would we come before him in shame? Which would it be? Prepare to meet thy God. To meet means to come into the presence of. Would we be ready to come into the presence of the Lord this morning? Or would we say, wait a minute, Lord, not yet. Many years ago now, we knew a family that lost a young man. Their son was riding with someone in a vehicle, and they were in an accident, and their son was just a passenger, but he was partially thrown from a vehicle when the vehicle rolled, and his chest was crushed. It just so happens that God had providentially had a surgeon right behind them in a vehicle and stopped and kept the boy alive, but the boy said to the surgeon, I don't want to die. And he was a Christian. But the boy says, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And he wasn't ready. Are we prepared to meet God? Meet means to encounter, to experience. Are we really ready to face him? Well, let's look in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was a religious man, but he was not ready. He was religious, but he was not prepared to meet God. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. What kind of man? Devout. So, Cornelius was devout, but he was not ready to meet God. Devout means religious, sincere, solemn, earnest. That one actually is Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. Devout means religious, sincere, solemn, earnest. And yet he was not ready to meet God. It goes on there. Verse 2, a devout man and one that what? Feared God. So Cornelius was devout. Cornelius feared God, but he was not ready to meet God. How can that be? Well, you know what? Many times today we're hearing about, we're just in this mode where everyone who's religious is okay. But they're not. I mean, Billy Graham says, the Muslims, if they've sought God with all of their knowledge, even if they've never heard the name of Jesus Christ, If they're seeking God sincerely, as much as they know how, they're okay. Well, they are not okay. They are not okay. Cornelius was devout. He feared God. But he was warned by an angel that he needed to call for Peter. As we read on. Verse 2, he was devout, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much what? Alms to the people. Alms are gifts. Cornelius gave many gifts. It seems like nowadays we have a lot of politicians who want to take from the rich and give to the poor, but you look at their same record of giving, and it is pitiful. Why don't they, if they're truly concerned for the poor, why don't they give to the poor? Why take someone else's money to give to the poor? If you're really concerned about the poor, help them personally. Cornelius did. He gave much money to help the poor, but he was not ready to meet God. Verse 2, gave much alms to the people and what to God? Prayed to God. Cornelius prayed all the time, but Cornelius was not ready to meet God. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years saying, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Oh, yes, I don't know what I would do without the Lord. I pray to him all the time, but they're not saved. Praying all the time does not save a person. They need to know the Lord Jesus personally. And so, verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. Well, verse 3, he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour. That's about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. About the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. These things did not save him, but God saw that he was doing all these things earnestly, and so he was going to get the truth to him. Verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall what? Tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Cornelius, you need to hear certain words. Because Cornelius, you're doing all these, you're devout, you're sincere. You give a lot of money, you pray all the time, but Cornelius, you need to hear something. Remember Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No, the Muslims are not okay if they don't hear how to be saved. The people in the tribes of Africa are not okay if they don't hear how to be saved. They need to hear and believe. And notice in chapter 11, one time I was speaking on this passage here, and one man said to me a comment like, well, Cornelius was saved, but he just need to be enlightened a little more. No, he was not saved. Look in chapter 11, verse 13, Acts 11, 13. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee what? Words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what? Saved. Cornelius was not saved. He was that good neighbor like maybe you have. You might have a neighbor that would do anything for you, but he's lost or she's lost. And they need to hear how to be saved, like Cornelius. So Cornelius was religious, but not ready to meet God. He was not saved. Let's look at another man, John chapter 3, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man, but he was not ready to meet God. John chapter 3, Nicodemus. Verse 1, John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a what? Ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees, they were very looked up as a very righteous bunch, keeping every little detail of the law. But Nicodemus was not saved. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen, Nicodemus was not an Islam leader, Islam priest, whatever they call their people. Nicodemus was a Jew, a leader of the Jews, a Pharisee. And Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. What about these religious leaders saying, well, this group of people is okay as long as they're sincere? Don't you think Nicodemus was sincere? But he was lost. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. What if we were to go downtown and say this to some of those preachers downtown that are preaching this morning? Oh, boy, they'd probably want to slap our face. Who are you talking to? I must be born again. Don't you realize I'm the Reverend Dr. So-and-so, and I've preached for this many years, or I've taught Sunday school for this many years, or I've been a deacon in this church for so many years of these liberal churches? Why, they would be so offended if we looked at them and said, sir or ma'am, you must be born again. But you know what? That's what Jesus did to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was religious, but he was not saved. He was a leader. He was a teacher, but he was not saved. He was not ready. Who do you think Jesus gave John 3:16 to anyway? To Nicodemus, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That wasn't to a six-year-old that Jesus said that. It was to a religious man who was lost. He was not saved. Another one, Lydia. Lydia was religious, but not saved. Acts 16. Cornelius was religious, but not prepared to meet God. Nicodemus was religious, but not prepared to meet God. Lydia was religious, but not prepared to meet God. In Acts 16, verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where what? Prayer was wont to be made. So this was the Sabbath day. This was a place where people gathered on the Sabbath to pray. You'd think, wow, you're only going to find believers here. Well, let's read on. Verse 13, and we sat down and spake unto who? The women which resorted thither. Think of that. In this city, they had heard the Macedonian call. God was leading them to a certain city. And when they got there, they went on the Sabbath day by the river. I want you to notice here that when Paul came into town, he didn't plan high energy games down at the river. I just, you know, I get so much literature and it just bothers me. Special meetings. There always has to be some big game, you know. Yeah, we're going to take all the young people to the Six Flags over whatever city. You know, they have roller coasters that drop, you know, 6,000 feet in 3 seconds, you know, something like that to thrill the young people and scare to death the old people. But you're not going to scare them into heaven on a roller coaster. Paul didn't do that. He didn't come into town and hold a circus. He came into town by the river. He didn't hold any water games. He just saw these people gathered together to pray, and it was only women. It reminds me, when I was in Bible school, they had a little chapel up in the hills. They were looking for a preacher. It was called Roark's Cove. And I says, why do you call this a cove? There's no body of water up here on this mountain. And they said, the mountains form the cove. And that's why it was called Roark's Cove. Well, this Yankee learned something that day. But at that little chapel up in the mountains, there was three women who came that day. Three. And they were looking for someone to fill that pulpit. And before I left, they says, "If you can help us, please come. If you can help us." Where were the men? There were none. Only women. When they got here, when Paul heard the Macedonian call, who was there? Not a man to be found that on the Sabbath day would set aside everything and come and pray. Not a man. But there was women there, and one of them, verse 14's name was Lydia. Verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. Notice, she worshipped God. Heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. She had come to worship God, but she had never heard how to be saved. Think of how many people today are in churches, sincerely come to worship God, not just to play games, but to worship God, but they're going to leave having never heard how to be born again. They're going to leave hearing that, "Hey, it's a beautiful day today. Isn't it wonderful? All God's people have gathered together." They're never going to hear about, "You know what? My friends, we are sinners. We were born sinners. We made the choice to sin many times. We're lost. We're condemned. We're in the miry clay," Psalm 40, verse 1. But Jesus came. The precious Son of God came from heaven, lived amongst men, God in the flesh. He lived amongst men, gave his life on the cross, gave his precious sinless blood on the cross. He died, was buried, rose again victorious from the grave. And if we will turn from our sin and place our faith in him, he will save us. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It is not through our baptism. It is not through our giving money. It's not through joining the church, but it's through Jesus' blood. How many people will have come this morning to churches to worship God, but will never hear that truth? And so they'll leave that church thinking they're okay. "Well, I'm baptized. Well, I gave a good amount of money. Well, I'm a member in good standing at that church." But they will die lost because they're not prepared to meet God. Lydia worshiped God, but she was not prepared to meet him until she heard the gospel and was saved right here. Cornelius, Nicodemus, Lydia, all religious, but none of them prepared to meet God. Saul, look in Philippians 3. Saul was religious and very zealous, but he was lost. He was not prepared to meet God. He's telling about it here in his life. Philippians 3, verse 4. Philippians 3, verse 4. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee." So he was circumcised. He was a Jew. The tribe of Benjamin and Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus had commented, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, he shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So Pharisees kept every little detail of the law. Jesus says, "You know what? That's not enough. You're religious, but lost." Verse 6, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Verse 9, "And be found in him, not having what? Mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the what? Faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. That's how we know him, as he'll go on to say. Saul wasn't ready. Religious, but not prepared to meet God. What about Nathanael in John chapter 1? Nathanael, Jesus highly compliments him, but he wasn't prepared to meet God. John chapter 1, verse 45. John 1:45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any what? Good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith to him, come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, the word guile means duplicity or deceit. In other words, what Nathanael thought is what he said. He wouldn't say one thing to you and then say something else to the next person. So Jesus complimented on him, here's a man in whom is no guile. This guy is not a flatterer, nor is he a backstabber. What he says, he'll speak to anyone. And so, verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? So, verse 47, Jesus just gives him a compliment. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Verse 48, Nathanael holds true to his character and says to Jesus, whence knowest thou me? Jesus just gave him a great compliment. And you know what he says? How do you know me? He didn't say, why, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I'm not sure I have met your acquaintance. There's nothing like that. What he thought, he spoke. Whence knowest thou me? Why do you say that? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Verse 49, Nathanael holds true to what he's thinking. He answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. You may say, this is a double-minded man. I won't go to, well, never mind, we won't go there. Nathanael was not a double-minded man. He was speaking what was on his mind. He's saying, I don't know you. Why are you pretending to know me? Jesus says something, and I saw you when you was under the fig tree before Philip called you. He immediately confesses that this is the Messiah. What's going on with this guy? He knew. I don't know what he was doing, but he knew that no one was watching. He knew that no man was watching him. Don't ask me whether he was doing something wrong or whether he was out there praying, doing something right. I don't know. The Bible does not say. But all I know is when Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree, he immediately gets right with God. Immediately. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. So Nathanael was religious, but he was not prepared to meet God until this moment. And then there are many unnamed people. Notice Matthew 7. There are many unnamed people today that are not prepared to meet God. They might be religious and they might be atheists, but they're not prepared to meet God. But in this instance here, we're looking at the religious again. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall what? Enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the first word of verse 22? Many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in what? Thy name. And in what? Thy name have cast out devils. And in what? Thy name done many wonderful works. What would you call these people? You would call them religious. These are religious people. They're doing things in Jesus' name. But what does he say, verse 23? And then will I profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This whole host of religious people yet today are going to stand before God, and he's going to say one day, I never knew you. And they're going to say, but you've got to let me into heaven. I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did many wonderful works in your name. Jesus, you've got to let me into heaven. And he's going to say, I never knew you. These religious people were not prepared to meet God. Why? Because they're standing before God saying, you've got to let me into heaven because I have done so much for you. It's not what we have done for God that gets us into heaven. It's what God did for us on the cross through his Son, giving his blood for our sins. There's nothing that can save us but his precious blood. We are vile sinners in need of that blood to cleanse us from all of our sin. And so the world is getting ready for the tribulation period. The one world church, they're all saying it. Religious leaders are saying, these people are okay. These people are okay. This religion's okay. This religion's okay. And yet we see clearly from the Bible, religious people that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope of salvation, they're not prepared to meet God. They're lost. We've got to keep focused in this day. There's a whole host of people that have a false hope. A whole host of Corneliuses, of Nicodemus, of Lydias, of Nathaniels, of unnamed people thinking they're going to heaven and they're lost. Let's be true to God's word. Make it clear. You must be born again. That's not one of your hopes. That must be your only hope. Jesus, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, please help us. I pray, Lord, if there should be any here this morning who have never placed their faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, I pray this morning they would come and would say, I want to be born again. I must place my total faith in Jesus and in him alone. Father, I pray you'd help us. This is a day that it's ripe for Antichrist. And Lord, so much is being said, giving people a false assurance. Lord, help us to be faithful in these days, that some more might truly be born again, that some Corneliuses might find out before it's too late that they need to prepare to meet God, that some Nicodemuses might find out before it's too late that they need to prepare to meet God, that some Lydias, that some Nathaniels, that a host of unnamed people might find out before it's too late. But even though they are religious, they're lost. Lord, help us to be faithful that they might hear and be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.